This is the Black Christian News Network One podcast. Here are the top stories you need to know about today. According to the Associated Press, Supreme Court Justice Ruth Bader Ginsburg, a Tory women's rights champion who became the court's second female justice, died Friday at her home in Washington. She was 87. Ginsburg died of complications from metastatic pancreatic cancer, the court said. Her death just over 6 weeks before Election Day is likely to set off a heated battle over whether President Donald Trump should nominate and the Republican-led Senate should confirm her replacement, or if the seat should remain vacant until the outcome of his race against Democrat Joe Biden is known. Majority Leader Mitch McConnell said late Friday that the Senate will vote on Trump's pick to replace Ginsburg, even though it's an election year. Ginsburg announced in July that she was undergoing chemotherapy treatment for lesions on her liver, the latest of her several battles with cancer. Ginsburg spent her final years on the bench as the unquestioned leader of the court's liberal wing and became something of a rock star to her admirers. Young women especially seemed to embrace the court's Jewish grandmother, affectionately calling her the notorious RBG for her defense of the rights of women and minorities and the strength and resilience she displayed in the face of personal loss and health crises. According to Mail Online, Herschel Walker has slammed Black Lives Matter as anti-government, anti-American, anti-Christian, anti-everything, and asked NFL owners and players, "Is this who you're supporting?" after learning one of the movement's founders once said she was a trained Marxist. The ex-NFL star, who is a longtime friend of Donald Trump and spoke in support of him at the Republican National Convention last month, posted a video on Twitter calling on BLM to tell the American people this is exactly who you stand for. Walker said he was blind, but now I see, after listening to one of the founders referring to themselves as Marxists in old footage. BLM co-founder Patrice Cullors described herself and her fellow organizers as trained Marxists who are trying to build a movement that could be utilized by many, many Black folk, in a 2015 interview that resurfaced back in June. Walker's latest criticism of BLM comes after he faced a backlash over his RNC speech, where he repeatedly insisted that Trump, his friend of 37 years, isn't a racist. The sports star has also alienated his fellow athletes after saying there shouldn't be politics in sports, and making several jibes at players kneeling during the national anthem in protest at the cop killings of Black people across America. Walker took to social media Wednesday writing that he has finally woke up, alongside a video of himself speaking to his followers. The former footballer challenged leaders of major league sports teams, churches, and in politics to come forward and admit if they are supporting Marxist ideology in their support of BLM. According to the Christian Post, family members and churchgoers are reeling after Pastor Gregory Boyd, leader of New Birth Harvest Outreach Ministries Churches of Deliverance in Miami, Florida, was shot and killed while getting a bite to eat at a local flea market last Thursday. He was 54. "We're grieving the loss of our dear overseer, Gregory Boyd," his church said in a statement on Facebook Saturday. "Keep his wife, family, friends, and congregation in prayer. His absence is truly felt in Miami-Dade County and possibly even further. We don't have many words currently as we're in shock still." The church concluded by urging followers to spend time in prayer and show love to each other. According to the Miami-Dade Police Department, Boyd was shot at approximately 6:05 p.m. in front of the Shoe Time store located on Northwest 27th Avenue. He was transported to Jackson Memorial Hospital Ryder Trauma Center and died a short time after arriving. ABC News affiliate WPLG reports that the shooting stemmed from an argument between a woman and a group of men. A second group of men got involved in the dispute before the gunfire began. Police believe Boyd was caught in the crossfire. According to the Christian Post, a man suspected of having killed an African United Methodist Church bishop in a car accident has been arrested by Sierra Leone police and charged with multiple counts. Last month, Sierra Leone area bishop John K. Wambasu was on his way to preach at a funeral for a former district superintendent when the driver of an SUV struck him. Mohamed Ali Saw was arrested after fleeing the scene and was charged with 7 counts earlier this month, including speeding and driving without due care and attention. Saw was driving a vehicle owned by another individual to a garage when he lost control of the vehicle and fatally injured Yambasu, according to UM News. By the time we cleared the traffic and safely packed the vehicles from off the road, the driver had disappeared, said Balu Kaba, traffic commander for the Calabar Town Police, as quoted by UM News. We first detained the owner of the vehicle when the driver could not be located. We released him after his blood pressure shot up. From there, family members of the owner of the SUV searched for and located Saul, who had been uninjured in the crash and was handed over to the police. According to the Associated Press, anti-apartheid campaigner and Nelson Mandela's personal lawyer George Bizos has died at 92, his family said Wednesday. He died peacefully at his home of natural causes, the family said. Bizos, who came to South Africa as a 13-year-old fleeing the Nazi occupation of Greece, played a key role in the legal fight to end apartheid, the racist system used to oppress South Africa's black majority for decades. This is a very sad moment for our country, President Cyril Ramaphosa said. He contributed immensely, to the attainment of our democracy and was one of the architects of the post-apartheid constitution. We dip our heads in honor. The soft-spoken but determined Bizos represented Mandela from his treason trial in 1964 until the former South African president's death in 2013. Bizos is credited with getting Mandela to add the words, if needs be, to his speech from the dock in which he said he was prepared to die for his ideals. The addition was seen as an escape clause, avoiding any impression that Mandela was goading the court to impose the death penalty. Another giant of South African history and of global struggles for justice has fallen, the Nelson Mandela Foundation said. It described the friendship between Bizos and Mandela as legendary, and it recalled Mandela's praise. I don't think words can sufficiently express our indebtedness to men and women like George Bizos. The two met as law students. During Mandela's years in prison, Bizos helped to look after his family, and he played a key role in negotiations for Mandela's release in 1990. In the last years of Mandela's life, they were often found together, just catching up, sharing memories, the foundation said. Bizos represented a wide range of people who defied apartheid, including the families of slain activists such as Steve Biko, and helped write the laws for the newly democratic country after apartheid ended with Mandela's presidency in 1994. A shining light during the dark days of apartheid and beyond, the Southern Africa Litigation Center said in a statement. According to Daily Mail, WNBS star Maya Moore has revealed that she's now married to Jonathan Irons, the man she helped free from prison when his wrongfully conviction from 23 years ago was overturned. Moore announced Wednesday on Good Morning America with Irons by her side that the couple married earlier this summer. "We wanted to announce today that we are super excited to continue the work that we've been doing together, but doing it as a married couple," Moore said. "We're excited to share this new chapter of life together." Moore was present when Irons was released from prison on July 1st. Irons, 40, had served 21 years of a 50-year prison sentence after he was convicted in 1998 of breaking into a Missouri home and shooting a homeowner. A judge ruled in March that prosecutors suppressed critical fingerprint evidence that strengthened Irons' defense. The 31-year-old Moore left the WNBA to dedicate her time to freeing Irons. Moore said she's keeping her basketball career on hold for now. "I'm trying to really just breathe from this long, long battle," she said. "There's a lot of unknowns for a lot of us right now, so I'm still in that camp." Moore posted video on Instagram in July showing Irons walking out of the Jefferson City, Missouri prison, where he was greeted by the former University of Connecticut star, her family, and other supporters, and many of whom were weeping with joy. "I feel like I can live life now," Irons said on the video. "I'm free and blessed. I just want to live my life worthy of God's help and influence." Moore dropped to her knees and appeared to be praying in a video before she and her family embraced the overwhelmed Irons, whom they met through a prison ministry program, according to the New York Times. "I'd been standing, and we'd been standing for so long, and it was an unplanned moment where I just felt relief," Moore told ABC's Good Morning America on Thursday. "It was kind of a worshipful moment, just dropping to my knees and just being so thankful that we made it." According to Black Enterprise, popular R&B artist Alicia Keys performed at the NFL kickoff event to help start the 2020 season on Thursday. What she did off the field will undoubtedly have a greater impact. Keys has launched a $1 billion endowment fund which the NFL has contributed to, aimed at supporting Black businesses and communities, according to Billboard. "We are already seeing the blatant injustices that are going on around us," Keys told Billboard. "As an artist, I'm always thinking about how can I use my platform to further racial equity. This fund is one of the answers, and our goal is to empower Black America through investing in Black businesses, Black investors, institutions, entrepreneurs, schools, and banks in a way to create sustainable solutions." Keys also explained the need for the fund and her inspiration for practicing social justice. "There is an urgent conversation that is happening across businesses about the importance of investing in Black America. I'm personally committed to holding corporations and institutions accountable, and in my conversations with the NFL, they reaffirmed their commitment to racial equity," Keys adds. "The prospect of true generational wealth for the Black community is long overdue, and I'm grateful to express my purpose as an artist to advance that cause. I have been deeply inspired by the courage of Colin Kaepernick, and the determination I have to see this through is meant to honor his commitment to social justice." According to the Christian Post, the trailer for Benedict Men, a new sports documentary series executive produced by Stephen Curry, has dropped. Launching on Quibi, the new mobile subscription service, Benedict Men follows the high school basketball team at St. Benedict's Prep in Newark, New Jersey, through their 2018-2019 season. St. Benedict's Grey Bees consistently rang in the top 25 high school basketball teams in the country. as one of the top athletic high schools with a storied basketball program and the highest graduation rate in New Jersey. The series will follow the brotherhood of young men who seek to balance life in complicated surroundings. Read the official series synopsis. To me, it's bigger than just basketball. I want to change like the way my family lives, one of the athletes states in the trailer. Founded on the core belief, what hurts my brother hurts me, St. Benedict's Prep is a Catholic all-boys secondary school that seeks to foster a legacy of strong character, community, leadership, and faith. St. Benedict's is explicitly dedicated to serving minority youngsters and those from low-income backgrounds, according to the school's website. You can read these stories and more at blackchristiannews.com. In closing, remember, God loves you. He always has and He always will. John 3:16 says, "For God so loved the world, that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish but have everlasting life." If you don't know Jesus as your Savior, today is a good day to get to know Him. Just believe in your heart that Jesus Christ died, was buried, and rose from the dead for you. Pray and ask Him to come into your heart, and He will. Romans 10:13 says, "For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." Thank you so much for listening, and may God bless your day.